prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 25 March 2026. Welcome to our program. We're in for a special treat tonight. I never had this gentleman on before. I just met him by phone here a few weeks ago. His name is Tom Caldwell. Now, I'm going to tell you his bio in a minute, so you know where he's coming from. Then we'll get into his story, which for our listeners, it's not going to be a big shock to think that things can happen to good people that are totally illegal, immoral, and unjust. Y'all know that already. But tonight's story is kind of extra, what word to use? I guess extra scary in a sense, because they didn't have a pretense of what they did to Tom. So we'll discuss in a minute. Before we do that, though, don't forget tomorrow being Thursday, Lord willing, will be in office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. We'd love to hear from you. The sale is still on through next Wednesday on the toothpaste and mouthwash. You can buy three of any of them, mix and match them. It's about your toothpaste and mouthwash and save 10%. Do it any way you want to do it. I would be honored to help you out with that. We could. Tomorrow, the Minuteman Magazine is leaving for Texas. If you do not receive the Minuteman Magazine, I'm serious, folks, it's totally free online. If you do not receive it, you're missing the biggest, in my opinion, the best put together magazine, bar none. And I can say that because I put it together. I go through the articles, hundreds and hundreds of articles every month, hundreds and hundreds of articles. To put together somewhere between 50 and 60 pages of magazine sent to you online for the asking. All you have to do is call tomorrow and give us your email address or email me. Email me at pastorbutch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I mean that. And you can call the office tomorrow at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, we'd appreciate if you would, 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. But we've been off approximately 9 and 4. We would love to hear from you, and I do mean that. And that we're here do anything we can to help you, if we can at all. I'm not the brightest bulb in the house, but sometimes I have the answers. I try to understand the Word of God and the principles written in there for us to live by. I try to share them when I'm on the radio. You call, ask me questions tomorrow, I'll try to share them with you in person on the phone. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to minister. I'm not a big shot. I don't have a multi-million-dollar ministry. I don't even have an airplane yet. I'm just a hillbilly preacher from West Virginia, lived down to a holler out in the woods by myself and my wife and I, and we try to do what we can to glorify God, folks. I'm just a mere mortal like you are. We'll be here tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern taking phone calls. If you want to talk to me, don't be shy. Believe me, I love to talk to you. If I get a little busy, I may have to call you back or have you call back, but but I want to talk to you. I sincerely mean that. Again, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We do want to hear from you. Now, as I said, our guest tonight is Tom Caldwell. He has a story to share. You've heard similar stories, but I don't think anything quite this atrocious and outrageous is what his story has been with his situation. And, folks, as I covered last night, the signs of an empire, end-time empire. And one of the things that happens is that when the empire starts taking control, it cracks down anybody who speaks up against its agenda. And we're seeing that with Trump really hard today. It's happening every day. And we're getting further and further into a war in the Middle East, so we're not going to win. I know nobody wants to hear that. But, folks, we've already lost it. All Iran has to do is just stay in existence. If we can't take them out, we're showing how weak we are. Now, that's a fact. But anyway, get to our guest tonight. We're going to talk to Tom Caldwell. Tom, are you there?
I certainly am, and thanks for having me on the program, Pastor Butch.
Oh, it's good to have you, sir. It's good to have you. It's been nice to meet you, and I'm glad that somebody told me that Rob Pugh told me to look you up and talk to you. I'm glad he did that. I enjoy it. And I highly respect Rob Pugh. He's one of the finest men I've ever met as far as being a sincere individual trying to serve God. Now, that's a fact. But anyway, tell us, folks, who in the world Tom Caldwell is.
Well, I'm just a country boy. I live on the small generational farm that I grew up on in the northern Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I lived here with my lovely wife, who I met and married about 26 beautiful years ago. I left the farm as a wide-eyed young man, wanting to see the world. And I always say I wanted to see the world. I saw it. They shot at me. I didn't like it. I came back to the farm. I was commissioned as an officer in the United States Navy and served proudly for almost two decades. I was entering the military at a time when it was not so fashionable to do so. It was back in the 1970s. And I traveled the world and had a few death-defying moments in that service to all of you, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Mine was not a John Wayne career. It was more of a McHale's Navy kind of career. My first two tours were in the jungles of the Far East, but after that I spent most of my time in those windowless rooms that you hear about working on Navy intelligence. Now, that might sound as mutually exclusive terms, Navy and intelligent. The Navy does a lot of things that's not too intelligent, but I was the guy that was working on problems like trying to counter the Chinese nuclear ballistic missile submarine problem and those kinds of things. And I, like I said, I did that for nearly two decades before the injuries I received on active duty forced me off. Got into radio for a little bit of time. I had worked my way through college doing that. Came back to the Shenandoah Valley to do so, and I met my lovely wife, and it was all peaches and cream until this thing called January 6th happened, where my wife and I innocently went to Washington, D.C., simply to hear the outgoing president speak. It was an historic moment. You know, I'd never heard an actual president speak in person before, and we went there, and we heard him. And we came home afterwards, and imagine our shock when 2 weeks later, an FBI SWAT team attacked our farm in the pre-dawn darkness of the 19th of January, 2021, and tore our lives asunder.
Now, explain what you did when you were at the rally. What did you do? Tell us a detailed, very quick detail of what you did when you were there. Were you close to the Capitol? Were you doing anything suspicious at all?
I never went into the Capitol building, first and foremost, and never did any violent stuff and never saw any violence. We were down to hear the president. He spoke on a thing called the ellipse. For people that don't know, that's the southern area of the White House lawn. It's closer to the Washington Monument than it is to the Capitol. And we now know that the president said, hey, let's go and let our voices be peacefully heard. There was going to be this certification of the Electoral College. I didn't know what it meant. Nobody else knew what it meant, but we were going to go. One thing that a lot of people were not told, Pastor Butch, is that there were a lot of conservative and Christian speakers who were scheduled to talk on the grounds of the Capitol that day. That's why most of the people went there. There were already temporary stages set up. The mayor of D.C. had issued permits for these people to speak. My wife, Sharon, and I went down there. I'm a disabled veteran. I've stumbled along with my cane and walking down good old Constitution Avenue. That was probably the longest trek I have made since I've been out of the Navy, and it was painful. That was a long mile. And we got down to a place called the Peace Monument, which is actually a dry fountain in the middle of the winter. Bear in mind, this is January now, and so cold. So as cold as a well digger's boots, it was so cold. And there was no seating down there. And so here I am with my disabilities, and my spine is held together with rods and screws. Some of our listeners tonight know what it's like to have a bad back situation. We sat there on the lip of the Peace Monument, dry fountain, like I said. We were there for about an hour. Then the crowd, and the crowd was substantial. The media says, oh, it was about 10,000. Let me tell you, Pastor, there was 500,000 people there, and I know what that many people looked like. It was amazing, shoulder to shoulder. And there was no violence. We never saw any violence that day. I'm not saying that some didn't happen, but we sure didn't see it. And then people went up on the balcony where they normally swear in the president. People have seen that in inauguration times. We went up there and took some selfies, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people who were never charged. But I got charged. And later, the DOJ, after my 5 minutes up there and 2 weeks later, they charged me with being the mastermind of January 6th, with no evidence, mind you. The mastermind, the top banana, the big cheese, and they threw me in prison with no evidence of my guilt of anything. In fact, the DOJ knew I was innocent. They had the evidence that proved I was innocent. But this should be chilling to everyone listening to us tonight, Pastor. They did not care.
Well, I wonder, too, with your background and what you come out of, a disabled vet and worked in intelligence and different things, if they may not knew that and decided to use you as for some reason that they just thought you could drum up a charge.
Well, that's really insightful of you. Most people have forgotten, I'm sure, but I'll just give you the thumbnail. When the government wants to run a game on you, or anybody will, some kind of huckster wants to run a game on you, they want to focus your attention on something else. And whatever people think January 6th was, they certainly haven't gotten a straight story. I mean, it just doesn't smell right. The government wanted to focus everybody's attention on two groups. One is called the Oath Keepers, and the other is called the Proud Boys. The first one I know a little bit about. The last one I don't know anything about. But the Oath Keepers, get this, Pastor, are primarily veterans and current yes. and former law enforcement officers.
Yes.
In fact,
yes.
the first Oath Keeper I ever met was an active duty FBI special agent. I know. I saw his credentials. So I thought, this is a cool bunch. January 6th, they were there in Washington to augment the security forces of the Secret Service because there were going to be so many people trying to get on the White House lawn to hear the president for a limited number of seats for his address. And, of course, he's always late. But that's what they were there for. And I was caught up in this. Yes, all of those people that were charged that belonged to the Oath Keepers, they were all enlisted men and women. But, you see, I was an officer, and I had actually met a couple of members of the Oath Keepers prior to January 6th. When the FBI, and we found out about this later, after I'd been arrested, after they had tortured me in prison, when the FBI flashbanged the home of one of these folks that I had met, an Oath Keeper, a lady, by the way, who had served in Afghanistan. That sounds like a hero to me, somebody going over there and fighting those people. They found my phone number in her phone because I said, if you're ever back here and you're broken down, look, I'm just out on the farm. I'll come and give you a ride. I'll help you fix your flat tire or whatever the heck it is, and I'll be glad to do it. And she said, hey, that's great. So most people in the Department of Justice don't know anybody that's been in the military, but veterans who are listening to this program know that oftentimes veterans refer to other veterans by the rank that they held on active duty. It's true.
That's true.
So when this lady put my phone number into her cell phone, she didn't put in Tom Caldwell. She remembered that I had been a lieutenant commander in the Navy. So the listing became Commander Tom. if she'd remember.
Well, let me ask you a question. This is totally off topic, but I'm not good on Navy ranks. I was Air Force. I knew Army and I knew Marines for the birth. But what is a lieutenant commander in the Navy? What's that equal to, a colonel?
That's a major.
Major, okay, all right.
Go ahead. That's right. But anyway, so what happened was is that they flashbanged her apartment. They got her phone. Within 2 hours, and we know this through this thing called discovery, where the government gives you a lot of documentation. Within 2 hours of taking control of that phone and seeing the listing of Commander Tom, they had a federal judge's signature on a warrant for my arrest as Commander Tom, the commander of the Oath Keepers, and the commander of the attack on the Capitol, and you can't make that up.
Oh, they connected Commander as commander of the Oath Keepers. Okay, all right.
Isn't that ridiculous? Well, because they didn't understand.
That makes sense, though. That makes sense. For them, it makes sense.
Well, I laugh about it now because the pain is over. But, oh, my gosh, can you imagine how upset I was when I saw that? No investigation at all. Zero evidence and no investigation.
So what did they do? I mean, you say 2 weeks later they showed up in the early morning hours with a SWAT team. So what happened?
They rolled up on the house. I was sound asleep, of course, and I've got sleep apnea, so I've got my CPAP machine on, and my wife is shaking me. She's saying, Tom, the FBI's at the door, and I'm not joshing. And they rolled up on our front lawn. We got a nice little 31-acre spread out here in the Shenandoah Valley I told you about, and they crushed all the flowers out front, and they had an armored vehicle with a giant battering ram on a pole sticking out the front of this thing, and they had it right up against the side of our house. If I had been 10 seconds later getting to the door in my undies with my hands up, it would have been Katie bar the door, let me tell you. And so I come out into the glare of the searchlights. They grabbed me. They dragged me across the front lawn. They threw me face down on the hood of a car. They trussed me up, double handcuffs in the front, tied that to a big, heavy waist chain they put around my waist, shackles on my ankles. And Pastor Butch, I looked back at the front door that I had exited, and my wife had come out. They had screamed at her to come out. She came out. She was standing there with the cold wind whipping around her. She's in nothing but her nightshirt with the lights all over her. And then she had her arms out to her side, kind of like Jesus on the cross. And she had in each hand a sock. She was standing there on that cold concrete, and all she was asking was for the chance to put her socks on. And they screamed at her.
You were out there in your underwear handcuffed.
That's right. That's right. And so they drew down on her with their automatic weapons. Now, there were at least two dozen body armor-clad FBI types with face masks on so you couldn't see their faces or identify them. And that's when I saw what I call the devil's fireflies. They had their little red dots of their laser pointers all over my darling wife's face and chest. And I called out, Abba, Father, please don't let them murder my wife. Please don't let them kill my wife.
Well, you know, I got to say this. I don't care whether it's ICE or who it is. When they start wearing masks to arrest people, I have a problem with that. A huge problem.
Well, we sure had a problem that day. We sure had a problem. And
That's a sign of tyranny. That's a sign of criminal activity. If I wore a mask downtown, they'd probably arrest me for wearing a mask. If I covered my face or whatever. Especially if it's carrying a gun.
What you mean.
So,
these
people become gods, and I don't want to get into this. It makes me angry. But these people turn into tyrants. And now we have, from the president right on down, condoning this. I'm trying to be quiet here and be calm, but I have not voted for a president in the last six elections because I can't stand both of them to take down the same road. People say, well, you need to vote. No, I don't. I cannot support someone I suspicion is going to lie to the people. And we've been lied to too many times and more. It's hard to believe any of them. But the point of it is, whenever they get to the point that they come into private people's homes, private citizens, raise their house at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, get them out in underwear in the wintertime, mask, and carry automatic weapons, I got a problem with that. I really do. Go ahead.
And, you know, these people, I have no idea what kind of what kind of weapons training they really have. I mean, they talk about it, but I was in the government. I've seen how things get, you know, people just kind of put a check in a box. I'm a country boy. I was raised with firearms. But you don't draw down on somebody like that. If they needed to talk to me, even if they needed to arrest me and rough me up, they didn't have to do that to my wife. And I believe that she was one finger twitch away from being dead, and that was the first time, Pastor Butch, in my adult life that I can recall out loud calling out to our Heavenly Father, and he heard, and thank you, Lord, he heard and he answered, and he spared her life right there on our front porch that morning.
And were there any children at home then?
No, there were not. It was just she and I. And, you know, if they had wanted to talk to me, why didn't they just call me on the phone and say, hey, come down to the office, we want to talk to you? They could have done the same thing to me there. But you know what? These are the kind of sadists that enjoy doing this kind of stuff. We found out later that the FBI agents who participated in this particular thing against us and against almost 2,000 of our fellow citizens across the country, they volunteered for it. They weren't ordered to do that. They signed up for it because they thought that it would be career enhancing for them.
Oh, my gosh. What a twisted setup. Anyway, go ahead. I don't want to get carried away again, but I have no patience with that kind of thuggery. It's what that is. It's pure thuggery. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And it only got worse. And I did write a book about this. I know we're going to talk about all of this later on. But the first thing I did was the thing they said never do. Never talk to the cops without a lawyer. But Pastor Butch, I'm a Christian. I'm a good man. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't have anything to hide. So I talked to them. And they grilled me in a room in my house, chained up hand and foot, for about 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
In your underwear.
That's correct. And during that time, it was very clear they didn't know anything about me. Pastor Butch, they didn't know I was a veteran. They didn't know I was a disabled veteran. And you know what? They didn't even know that at one time I had worked for the FBI.
So they did no research on you at all?
None at all. All they had to do was just do a simple records check. Check with the military. It would have been there. Check with their own employment records, and it would have been there. But you know what was clear? It was clear that they didn't have a clue. And when they called back to their controllers at the Department of Justice and said, I don't know, this guy doesn't look like somebody we want to arrest, the DOJ said, take him away anyway. And they took me, not to the famous gulag that they call that D.C. jail in Washington, in that awful conservative Christian-hating city. No, they took me to a place called the Central Virginia Regional Jail. It's in a happy-sounding little town, Pastor Butch, called Orange, Virginia. But I'll tell you, it is a pit. We found out later from the Sheriff's Department deputies around here who supported us all the way, by the way. They knew all this stuff was bogus because we're members of the community. They said that is the worst jail in all of Virginia, and the feds had a contract with them to handle special handling kind of inmates like myself. The first thing that they did was, after a particularly invasive welcome to prison, I'll let you figure out what that means, then they threw me into solitary confinement, Pastor. Solitary confinement is supposed to be, I thought, some kind of punishment for breaking rules. But what they did is they took all my clothes, they gave me a short sleeve burlap blend jumpsuit, they gave me a plastic blanket and a threadbare sheet, the kind of thing that you wouldn't even pick up at the half dollar store, let alone a dollar store. And they put me in a cell. It was four concrete walls, about 6 by 10, maybe 6 by 9.5, with a solid steel door on one end, no windows, and I slept on the floor with ice-cold freezing air blowing on me 24/7. I had dirty water in the sink to drink, no toilet paper for the first 2 weeks that I was in there, and that was my world. And what they wanted me to do...
I know this sounds awful. No toilet paper. But you had to use the facility, so that had to be kind of gross in itself.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. It was pretty gross. And, you know, the French people use a thing called a bidet, which is like a garden hose that shoots you on the rear end. But they didn't have one of those either, you know. So here I was, and it was clear that they wanted to make this as uncomfortable as possible. You know, I said I was a disabled veteran, I'm an old guy. I'm 71 years old. I've probably got the body of an 85-year-old, and he doesn't want it back. And that's how beat up I am. And I'm able to have some sort of quality of life by a unique blend of prescription medicines, notions, potions, and lotions to keep me going. That's the first thing they denied me, even though the jail called my wife and instructed her to drive 2.5 hours to this jail and bring down my medicines that I would need for a few days until I got bonded out. Well, I never did get bonded out. And they really ramped up the mistreatment. Now, I use the term torture. I'll let you and I'll let the faithful listeners decide for themselves. First of all, the ice-cold nature and sleeping on solid, cold concrete, you know, like a milking floor.
Right.
And then the food doesn't even, it shouldn't even be called food. It doesn't have any resemblance to what I understand food as being. Filthy water to drink, that was it. And then they started the flashing light torture, like a strobe. They had these lights overhead, just strobe, the kind of thing that if you close your eyelids, you could still see the flash, and terrible sounds. I know that we're not supposed to watch things like this, and I don't do it intentionally, but on television, they'll have these ghost shows, paranormal caught on camera, and they have these ghostly sounds that they're able to pick up on some radio or ghost box, which these awful spirits, these demonic entities are supposed to be able to talk through. That was the soundtrack. It was coming through these vents along with the ice cold air. It was awful. And they told me to confess. Confess to what? I said, I didn't do anything. They got very physical with me, Pastor Butch. They got very physical with me.
And that means what? Beat you or what?
Yeah, they beat the tar out of me. In fact, I'll give you an example. So when they really want to stick it to you, they truss you up like I described earlier in this conversation with the double handcuffs and your legs are chained together and all that. In this particular situation that I'm going to tell you about, they turned me face down. One of them held my legs apart as far as they could go with those chains, holding them. And another one kicked me repeatedly in the man zone, in the groin, in the crotch, over and over, saying, "Where is your sky daddy, boy? Why don't he come down to help you? Where is your Christ?" he said. Now, you tell
me. I know it's true, and you're not the first one I've heard this type of stuff from. Yours has been more severe than anybody I've talked to, but it's out to show the world and nation today the kind of society we live in when people are this cruel and enjoy it. Back as a break, folks. A lot more talk about in your phone calls next half hour. So hang in there. 717-300-1698. This is war.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Demand.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying.
Let's just jump right back in here. A lot more talk about it and your phone call. Give me comments and questions. I just want you to see again tonight in more detail a problem you ever have in the broadcast so far. Just how cruel, how inhuman, how vindictive these people can be against men of courage, especially Christian men of courage. And that's just the way it is. You listen to a man who was absolutely did nothing wrong. They had nothing on him, and they knew that. Arrested him anyway. Got him in jail. Solitary confinement, no toilet paper, dirty water, no clothes really, kicking him between the legs, abusing him any way they can, telling him to confess. Now, this is what we have in America today. This isn't by any means a lone case. It's happened to other people. But Tom's been through, I think, a little bit more than a lot of them. So he's trying to share his story with us to prepare you perhaps what may come down the pike for a lot of people, including perhaps you and I one day, if we live long enough. Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead and wrap it. Tell us what happened and then how it all started changing for you.
Well, it started changing when my darling Sharon, who was a hero in this whole story now, she stood beside me the whole way. She had always said, look, I know that you're not going to confess to something you didn't do, and I wouldn't let you, and I wouldn't let you take a plea deal. Because if you take a plea deal, you got to swear to a judge that what you're saying is not true, and that is blaspheme. You're not going to do that, and I know that. And she told me on the blessed phone calls when I was still in jail, and I didn't spend as much time as everybody else did in jail. There were guys that spent years before they went to trial. But she told me, she says, look, don't forget what it says in Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, right? But in everything, right, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm sitting there on that icy floor. They wouldn't let me out to talk to her on the phone. It just stuck a short cord through this little slot in the door. And I sat there and I said to myself, how do I find something to be thankful for in this jail cell right here? And I thought, and I said, well, Lord, thank you that they haven't beat the tar out of me today. Of course, the day ain't over yet. And then I said, and thank you for the years I have with my lovely, lovely wife, Sharon. She is a gift. She is an angel. I say, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make a Christian woman your wife. And Amen. From that moment on, everything changed because God says, okay, now Tom's ready to trust me. And he sent us a lawyer. Pastor Butch, how do you find a lawyer when you're locked down in solitary confinement? But Sharon did. She found one because she kept asking everyone she knew and somebody knew. And the Lord, in a miracle, sent us a guy named David W. Fisher, a real-life David, to fight our Goliath. You can't make this stuff up. And he got me out. He told the judge, he says, they're lying about Mr. Caldwell. But the judge wouldn't make them dismiss the charges. He only let me out so that Sharon could nurse me back to health with a big ankle monitor on. So a year plus went by before I ever went to trial. They took me to trial on 5 bogus felony counts, including 3 conspiracies, conspiracy to interfere with Congress, and seditious conspiracy. You'll remember Jesus was also charged with sedition. And I was innocent of all these things, but again, the DOJ didn't care. So they falsified evidence. They got FBI agents to perjure themselves on the witness stand, lying outright. The judge and the prosecutors colluded to keep evidence away from the jury that was exculpatory, that proved that I was innocent, and the DOJ threatened witnesses that we wanted to call. It was a nightmare. How in the world were we going to beat this thing? Your listeners would be interested to know that the star witness for the government against me and against 4 members of the Oath Keepers Community Service Organization we talked about at the beginning, who were tried alongside me, the star witness was a professional witness who was a convicted child sexual predator who traded his ridiculous and lying testimony for a new identity and probably relocation and monies. Maybe he's been relocated to your neighborhood. I don't know. But it's a travesty that something like that would happen. And with all of the people who are trying to destroy families, weaken our nation, indoctrinate our children, attack our faith, and do all the things that they did when they attacked people like me about January 6th, all have one common thread, Pastor, running through their lives, a link to criminal abuse and sexual abuse of children. And now that guy I was just talking about, named Abdullah Rashid, is free to victimize children again. It is, in my opinion, a demonic web all around us and in the so-called institutions of this country.
Oh, yeah. We know that's very, very true. We know that. So you finally got out, I guess, more or less, until trial anyway. So what happened? What happened after that?
Well, we had to wait forever and ever. They kept dragging along. We figured out later on they just needed more time to dig up the right phony witnesses, to teach everybody what they should say when they got on the stand, to create false exhibits, and to destroy evidence. Fortunately, we had gathered a lot of the evidence that they tried to destroy, but we already had it. But when I went to trial, miracle upon miracles, the Lord showed up. I mean, we just prayed. That's all we could do. And I want to tell you one more thing. It's very important. You asked, how did things change? When did things change? How did you know? I talked about changing the way I prayed and changing the way that I looked at things, my relationship with God, my relationship with other people. And I tried to make the changes that I thought God wanted to make in me. These were important things, and we're called to do that kind of stuff. We're called to do that kind of stuff. But when we went to trial eventually, miracle upon miracles, I got the best result of anyone who dared to go to a jury trial in Washington, D.C. The jury made a not guilty pronouncement on 3 of the worst charges, all of those conspiracy things. Each one carried 20 years to life, Pastor. And they said,
wow.
No, We don't like these people, but, you know, we can't convict them of that. Now, they did convict me of two stupid things. One was another felony, an obstruction charge, and the other one was this. They convicted me of removing 11 exculpatory photos that proves I was innocent, including selfies, from a text message with someone who wasn't even convicted of anything with January 6th, even though all those photos are still on my phone in FBI custody. How did I destroy them? But let's not let the facts get in the way of a government fantasy. So here I was facing this, you know, this terrible time and going and being sentenced. And God continued to show up. Usually when you're found guilty of anything. And I should point out that the DOJ was, like I said, they were undefeated. They were 65-0 against anybody who went to a jury trial. But when you're convicted of something, usually you go to sentencing. That's when the judge tells you you're going to go to jail for X number of years. Usually they do that within 2 months. But there was always another delay. The Lord stepped in. I didn't understand it. Sometimes it would happen the night before I was supposed to drive to D.C., and Sharon thought they'd take me away to Leavenworth. And there was always another delay. Come to find out, the Lord was working behind the scenes, just like he did for Elisha and 2 Kings, right? Which he said, he sent, there was chariots of fire and horses sent by the Lord in Dothan, which is in Alabama, by the way, to protect him. He did the same thing. He delayed my sentencing so long, the Supreme Court got involved and said, that thing that you convicted Caldwell of, it doesn't even apply. It was made up. You see, there's no law in the United States against peacefully protesting and peacefully assembling.
That's
but
right.
The DOJ invented one. This one that they use is called 1512C2. I'm not going to bother you with it. But it was the Enron law. Remember when people lost all their savings in that Enron scandal? That's what it was. It had nothing to do with this. But the DOJ used it to incarcerate innocent civilians from J6 and say, here's a felony. In fact, I met a gentleman who spent 3 years in jail on that charge alone. How's he able to get that time?
You probably know Jake Lang.
I don't know him personally, but I know of his situation.
Yeah, he's been on the program 3-4 times at least and shared his story also. So are you a convicted felon now?
I am indeed. Now, President Trump did pardon me. He didn't pardon me on inauguration night because he had a lot of people at the DOJ yapping in his ear. I sometimes say I think he has a staff infection, if you know what I mean, STAFF. but eventually someone brought to his attention that Caldwell had been mistreated, and he said, well, I'm just going to give him a pardon. Because he knew that we were just going to go ahead and fight it through the Court of Appeals. I was going to clear my name. But technically, I am still scarred with the modern-day equivalent of the Scarlet Letter, J6.
Wow. Wow. Folks, phone lines open. This happened, again, to another American citizen who just did something he wanted to do, to go hear a president speak. And all this other nonsense was made up, thrown in his face. And he was tortured, literally tortured, because he wouldn't confess to something he didn't do. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. We would love to hear from you. Go ahead, Tom. And by the way, how did the family handle all this? Your wife and your children, how'd they handle all this whenever you were going through this?
They were, you know, just terrific. And like I said, my wife is a very strong Christian woman, and she got the bit in her teeth. The thing was is that she and I were together every moment on January 6th. We did exactly the same thing, and yet I was arrested and she was not. She was incensed. I didn't have to convince her of my innocence because she was there. And you know what? I remember that there was a time, now I was in solitary confinement, but people find a way to speak to someone, otherwise you go crazy. There was a gentleman who, by his own admission, had spent most of his adult life incarcerated, and he spoke to me one time through the air ducts. and he introduced himself as Boo, and he knew all about me. In fact, all of the inmates in the jail apparently knew all about me, and they knew I was getting railroaded, and they had compassion for me. The sadists were the guards, Pastor Butch. They were the problem. And he told me one time, I never want to forget it, and I want to share it with you and all your listeners. He told me one time, he said, Caldwell, you are a gimpy, old, veteran country boy who loves Jesus. You ain't got no chance against these people because you're everything they hate. I wonder how many of your listeners can relate to one of those categories I just said.
That's sad, and I'm sure it's true. I mean, that is unbelievably sad. But that's our country today, folks. A nation that forgets God is turned into hell. I think we're seeing that in America right now. So,
and you know, Pastor,
I was just going to say
one of the things that I wanted to do, and I started early on in all this, because even when I got home and I had this ankle monitor on, and things were dragging on, I never knew if the FBI was going to come back with some new false charges and drag me away. I'd never see my true love again. So I started documenting everything. Now, it turned into a book. I know a lot of people don't read books nowadays, but I think Christians like us always support writers of faith-based books. I wrote a book called The Mouths of the Wicked. You should recognize it right from Psalm 109. And when you get into the book, you'll know why I chose that one. But it's called The Mouths of the Wicked. It's a true January 6th story of corruption, persecution, survival, and victory. Yes, I wrote it on my own. I didn't use artificial intelligence to do it or anything like that. There are lots of stories of heroes, men and women, who face terror with God as their shield. Sharon and I don't consider ourselves heroes. We're not like somebody out of the 16th century. We didn't face tyranny in pre-World War II, for example. But God still works wonders that you might like to know about in the here and now. And Sharon and I are just like you. And we were carried by a loving God through the toughest time we could never have imagined. And my spiritual eyes are wide open, and I bring the receipts. So when I tell you that an FBI special agent named Palin lied on the witness stand when he said XYZ, you better believe I got it footnoted in the back of the book, because I have the documentation, I have the real evidence, I have the phony evidence they created, I have every government transcript and everything that nobody would print in the media, and I bring it. But you know what? It's not a woe is me story, because the Lord brought us through. It is a story of His love and His grace. And I'll tell you what, I am the great-grandson of a circuit-riding Methodist preacher from the desert southwest of Arizona in the times of Pancho Villa. And my biblical education was lacking. But walking through this with God leading the way and then picking my big old rear end up when I couldn't take another step, this showed me so many of the promises of the Bible are absolutely true.
Absolutely. How can people get your book?
Well, right now, because so many people have thought this word getting out, I mean, standard publishers don't want a story of J6, and they don't seem to want too many Christian stories either. In fact, one publisher told me, yeah, we'll do your book, but you got to take out some of that Jesus stuff. And I said, the Jesus stuff is the story, brother. Thank you for talking to me. The way people can find the book is it is available online in paperback and in ebook form for people who just like to download it at a place called bookbaby.com. That's bookbaby, one word, .com, or at puffinpublishers.com. It's puffin like the seabird, P-U-F-F-I-N publishers.com. You can go right there. It's available now. We hope to be on Amazon soon, but that's where the book is available right now. And we really do think that people will support it. We were not prepared for the wonderful reception we've received so far by our fellow Americans who have read it and who have written reviews and said, this is great. My dear wife, Sharon and I, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Sharon and I are just so grateful for being helped by so many people, including you, Pastor Butch, to speak directly to believers about a modern-day story of the mercy of our loving God, who saved us from the wicked, the mouths of the wicked, and the actions of the wicked.
And your story encourages people. Now, the two sites again is Puffin. What was Puffin again?
It's Puffin Publishers. It's P-U-F-F-I-N Publishers.com. PuffinPublishers.com or BookBaby.com.
BookBaby,
and
okay.
I guess, Pastor, it's true that you don't really know what you've got till it's gone, especially if it's freedom, innocence,
amen,
optimism, all of those things. But enough talk about loss. My wife, Sharon, and I have found a new understanding of redemption and salvation, even though I didn't get outright vindication. Today and hopefully forever, we celebrate the things that truly make a difference in life with the excitement of somebody that might be experiencing them for the very first time. Because when it's taken away, you just never know. We celebrate these things with freshly spouted optimism and peace, even though I feel pretty worn out. And sometimes I'm so tired, I feel like I'm as low as a snake's belly in a wagon rut.
Well, let's take a phone call from right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to BK. BK, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch.
Yes, sir.
How you doing there, Tom?
I'm doing well, BK. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. God's good, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Hey, when you was in jail, were you allowed to have a Bible?
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, it was many, many weeks. Many days I asked for a Bible. Not only was I not allowed to go to the library because I was on 24-hour day lockdown, they deliberately would not give me a Bible. In fact, they mocked my faith. They mocked the Bible. And then after I'd been in there about 6 weeks or so, I looked through this little slot in the door, a little mail slot kind of thing like they feed you through, and I looked and I saw one, or what I thought was one. I could just see the page edges, if you know what I mean, but it was nice and thick. And I said, hey, that's no romance novel right there. And there was a guy passing by, and I said to him, hey, excuse me, can you just hand me that Bible right there, right there, right there? And he went over and he picked it up and he looked at it, and doggone it, it was a New King James. And he handed it to me through that slot. And I snatched it like I was snatching a biscuit. I'll tell you, I pulled it in there, and I'll tell you what, BK, I'm so glad you asked this, because I was miserable. I was shattered. I had no pride. I had no dignity. And I'm laying there, and I'm shivering, and I'm bruised, and I'm bleeding out of places that little boys shouldn't be bleeding out of. And I sat Indian style on the floor, and I let that thing open to where it would, and it flopped open, and my eyes went right to, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouths of the wicked and the mouths of the deceitful are opened against me. And I knew at that time that God knew what I was going through. It wasn't until I got the Bible. I think they kept it for me because they knew there was power in those pages.
Well, they knew that there was strength in there for you, too. Go ahead, BK.
Wow, that is something. It's amazing to me, the federal tyranny. I mean, the feds are supposed to be on the borders. Other than that, they ain't even supposed to be 10 miles out of the District of Columbia.
That's constitutional.
I mean, even right now, it's shocking to me that President Trump wants to federalize elections. I live here my whole life. The locals know me. They know my grandpa. They know my family for generations. And I need to show my ID to vote, and 18-year-olds have to show a birth certificate to vote. The question is, who are you?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, didn't we fight a war way back when about states' rights and federal rights and the limitations of that?
We did.
Yes, sir.
After 1865, we lost most of that, but that's true, too. I mean, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, the Constitution said the feds have no authority outside 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. That's in the Constitution.
That's true.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? The Constitution
ahead,
and the Bill of Rights, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was supposed to protect me. I was supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But they violated my constitutional rights, my civil rights, my human rights. It's okay to have laws on the books, but when you got a corrupt judge and corrupt prosecutors and corrupt federal cops, what do you got? You got tyranny.
Yeah, that's what we got now.
Well, it's just like these Iranian sleeper cells. We have to pretend we can't figure out, but by looking at Iranians, what an Iranian is, what, we're that colorblind? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's a multiracial police state. We're supposed to act like we don't know what an Iranian is, but we have to show our IDs.
Well
that's right.
I just finished chapter of next book, BK, entitled The Three Ds, Diversity, Destruction, and Damnation. Division and destruction if I come to America. BK, I got jumping. Anything else you want to say?
Just that it's nice to talk to both of y'all, and it's sad to be living in a multiracial federal police state.
Yes, it is. And that, well, and all of them that hate Christians. But good call. Thank you, BK. Well, yeah. About the last minute and a half here, so, Tom. And folks, sure. Got time for one more quick phone call if you want to hurry. But anyway, so you were in there for how long?
Well, I was only in there being tortured for about 53 days. But I'll tell you, they took me to the very limit. That's right. It took me to the limit. And when I got out of there, I was in a wheelchair. That's how bad they did me in. And I'll tell you what, I could not have lasted too much longer. The Lord was really watching out for us.
Let me ask you this. I don't want to get off topic or run out of time, though. Do you have any retribution you can take at the courts about this? Anything that you can do to go after the ones who did this?
No, not really. It's very difficult to sue the federal government. And all the people that did all these things, they operate under a thing called absolute immunity. It's a law passed by Congress that they can lie, they can cheat, they can steal, they can enrich themselves, and nobody can hold them to account. And it's a terrible thing.
Even cops can do that. That's now law. Cops can do that also. They can lie.
Well, but the cops have a partial immunity, not an absolute immunity. And I checked on that. So, yeah, they can do a lot of wicked things. I'm normally a guy that supports the police, maybe not the federal police, but the prosecutors and the DOJ, they can do anything that they want to do, and it's terrible. They are above the law. So we did file what they call a notice of claims. We listed all these terrible things that they did. I referenced my book. I said, buy my book, and you'll see all the awful things your people did. And, you know, but I guess they didn't want to go online and order it. But we told them what happened. Now, they've got 7 to 9 months to come back with a response. The response could be, you know, hey, go take a long walk off a short pier, and they probably will do that. We're not sitting here thinking that we're going to get any monies back. They're not going to make us whole. It costs us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
We're down about the last 20 seconds. We're in our time so fast. I'm sorry, Tom. It's hiring by so quickly. But I want to copy your book. Don't forget that, okay?
All right. You got it.
I want to copy your book, and thanks for your stand and for exposing this to the people. I don't know what God will bless somebody that maybe been something similar, but thank you, Tom, for everything. And tell your lovely wife that we're honored to know of her and what she does. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening.
All right, talk to you soon, folks. We love you. By the grace of God, I'll see you in the office tomorrow. Tomorrow's our day to talk. Please feel free to call and talk to me. Have a great night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.